do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Here in RBN Live, this 23rd day of January 2024, simulcast on Speak Free Radio. Trump is dominating in the New Hampshire polls. Their primary is today. Haley lags behind as the showdown looms. I think today is Haley's last stand. Trump is seeking a knockout performance here. It'll make a big difference. In Breitbart reports, Trump seek knockout to become presumptive nominee. That'll have a whole lot of benefits. Florida Governor DeSantis' exit from the race on Sunday, suspending his campaign and endorsing Trump before the primary, left Haley last alternative standing. She is barely upright as voters head to the polls to cast their ballots. Don't expect much to come from her. Trump commands a gargantuan and growing lead over Haley in the Granite State. One survey put Trump at over 60%. Interactive poll. Final New Hampshire GOP primary poll. Trump, 62%. Haley, 35%. That's plus 27. In other words, a lead 27. If he knocks her out, then that greatly simplifies the rest of the way, because you don't have to hassle with primaries. You can save your money. You can reserve your resources. You can focus on your alternative, except Biden is, I'm convinced, not going to be on the ticket in 2024. Meanwhile, Trump made absolutely explosive revelation about Nikki Haley speaking at a rally. He pointed to a recent article in the Washington Examiner tying the former director's campaign to a Biden-supporting organization that Glenn Beck once described as a dark money-fueling network. It was reported that Nikki Haley, state director of New Hampshire, this is a very bad one, listen carefully, Tyler Clark, did you ever hear of him? He was a lobbyist for the 1630 Fund, which is managed by Arabella Advisors, which is the largest Democrat dark money network in the country and considered public enemy number one. That's who's managing her campaign. I expect that report, plus the fact that it was published in the Daily Mail and picked up many other sources, that Nikki Haley had had affairs before she became governor while she was married, one with a married guy, a communication guy, the other with a lobbyist, and they have even signed sworn affidavits in relation to her divorce proceedings. I mean, this is inescapable. She has no political viability, she has no moral authority, and she's a bird brain. Why would anyone vote for her? Meanwhile, Trump is dropping a hint about his VP choice. People won't be that surprised. Well, if it were someone like, say, Jim Jordan, then I think I wouldn't be surprised. Of course, I've been suggesting that it could be Tulsi Gabbard. Others think Carrie Lake. Some have talked about Tucker Carlson. I think Carrie Lake and Tucker are both sensational, but they have such limited experience in government, it's not very plausible they'd be in a position to take over as president. Thus, I am skeptical about those alternatives. My own senator, Johnson from Wisconsin would be a superb choice. The problem being we have a Democrat governor. So if Ron Johnson became the vice president, then this very feeble Democrat would be in the position to appoint a successor. Here's something Trump added on with Bear in New Hampshire. The person I think I like is a very good person, a pretty standard. I think people will be surprised, but I would say there's probably a 25% chance it would be that person. Not saying who that is. 25% obviously knows his own mind. So 25%. Meanwhile, Trump and the media, corporate media profits skyrocketed during the years of the first Trump campaign presidency, only to plunge into layoffs after his lapse. The incentives, therefore, are broken. In other words, the press benefits mightily in terms of financially selling more papers, drawing more viewers, getting higher revenues for advertising. When Trump is the focus, he's a fascinating guy. He's the most charismatic politician in American history, bar none. That even includes JFK and FDR, in my judgment. Here we go again, about 30 minutes into counting the first votes of the Iowa caucus. The Associated Press, CNN, NBC, and various other news network called it for Donald Trump. There was little doubt that the former president would easily dominate the rural state, but the rush to declare him the victor, in violation to policy to prohibit these calls before the polls close, was a blatant attempt to soak up the election night audience. Now, this is a commentary that appears to me to be an anticipation. It was published on January 21st, and of course today is the 23rd. So this is just saying how they're going to do it, how they're going to do it. And I would not be surprised that he's got it right. Meanwhile, Biden has finally admitted the truth about the border, that we have a calamity here. The fact of the matter is, the gravest threat ever facing the United States, in my judgment. In a stunning U-turn, Joe Biden has finally admitted the southern border of the United States is not secure and vowed massive, though undisclosed, changes in immigration policy if House Republicans are willing to work with him. Remember now, the House has put the squeeze on Biden that they're not going to provide money for Ukraine or for Israel unless he deals with a border. More than 10 million illegals have invaded the United States in the 3 years during which Biden has occupied the White House. In a speech before a mixed political group of mayors in the East Room, a president acknowledged the insecurity of the U.S.-Mexico border Friday, deviating from previous statement by Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. In his address, the 81-year-old expressed his anticipation for Senate mediator to propose a bipartisan solution next week regarding border policies so he can get that money for Ukraine. Meanwhile, and this has broken my heart, Supreme Court side with Biden over border crisis. Here are the conservative justices who flip. The U.S. Supreme Court on Monday afternoon side with the Biden admin in a case that reviewed the ongoing use of razor wire fencing along the Texas border of Mexico. In the new ruling, federal authorities are now allowed to cut all razor wiring that Texas has installed along the southern border. Previously, Greg Abbott installed over 30 miles of razor fencing, but now it's in danger of being cut down after the Supreme Court ruling. The court sided 5-4. Chief Justice John Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett siding with a majority. Justices Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh voted against it. This is very bad. Indeed, I believe many are going to view this as the last straw. This demonstrates to me really conclusively that the Supreme Court is not fulfilling its function. This is completely wrong. And just to get an inkling of how arrogant these people have become, illegal alien threatens independent journalist after he was asked where he was from. You find out who I am very soon. Wow. An independent journalist known as First Responders Media on social media experienced a chilling interaction while conducting interviews with a group of illegal immigrants who had recently crossed into the country. The journalist has been covering border issues, reported a particularly ominous exchange, raising concerns about the safety of Americans in their homes from the invasion at the border, according to the journalist's account. The situation escalated when he asked one of the individuals about their origin. The response was unexpectedly aggressive. By the way, if you are smart enough, you will know who I am. But you are really not smart enough to know who I am. But soon, you're going to know who I am, the illegal immigrant warned. The identity of the individual remains unknown, but the implications of his statement are unsettling. The encounter was documented in a post shared with the journalist's followers, highlighting the danger and aggressive behavior of illegal aliens. The post read, "A migrant who illegally crossed into the United States threatened me, saying, 'You'll find out who I am very soon,' simply when I asked where he was from. That, to me, implies taking arms up and murdering Americans. That's the way it comes across to me. Meanwhile, we even have camouflaged invaders at the Arizona border. I mean, this is bizarre. Usually, the focus has been on Texas regarding the border. But keep an extra eye out if you're in Arizona. They're starting to use Galil suits now as camouflage to blend in with the sand as they wander into the desert. This is getting ridiculous." Here's Mountain Palm tweeting, "Disturbing footage reveals armed illegal aliens dressed in camouflage infiltrating Arizona desert. Disturbing footage obtained by Fox News reporter Bill Melgen has shed light on armed illegals infiltrating the Arizona desert approximately 70 miles from the southern border. Now, let me just say, these camouflage suits are not something you can pick up at Kmart. This is something that's very sophisticated and also very expensive. A local Arizona paper, the Center Square, reports on a border crisis and the numbers they're seeing. Arizona sheriffs briefed state lawmakers on the border crisis Thursday afternoon as the state faces a problem typically attributed to the federal government. In 2024 fiscal year so far, there have been 131,893 immigrant encounters recorded by Customs and Border in Arizona, 12,029 from the Yuma section. The co-chief county sheriff said, "Right now, it's the ugliest he's ever seen. Until state, local, and federal start working together, we're in trouble," he added, taking a critical tone toward the board and admin border policy. And of course, you got the Biden administration destroying America, violating its obligation to preserve our national security. And you got the Supreme Court right in there pitching. And Amy Bryant and John Roberts are on the wrong side of this issue. It makes me vomit. This is completely disgusting and wrong. It reminds me, by the way, when the United States Supreme Court rejected the Texas lawsuit about massive cheating and violation of their own laws for selecting their electors, because Texas didn't have standing. How could Texas have not had standing? And that was a court, of course, that was also led by John Roberts. Disgusting. Completely disgusting. Meanwhile, faced with looming defeat in Ukraine, NATO wants World War III to prevent it. Get this. Lasting nearly half a century, the first Cold War brought the world to the edge of a new abyss, one that would have made World War II look like a bloodless skirmish by comparison, despite not starting it. In order to prevent that total destruction of the world, Russia initiated its own end. It willingly dismantled the Warsaw Pact and the USSR, renouncing immense power and historically unprecedented move no other superpower in history ever made. And how did the political West see it? Really is a sign of weakness. Weakness. Not only did the U.S.-led belligerent power pole proclaim victory in the ideological struggle because Moscow had renounced communism, but it also wanted a total defeat for Russia and its people. In the 30-plus years since, everything the United States and its vassals have done has been in accordance with that goal. The world's most aggressive military alliance, NATO, expanded approximately 1,000 kilometers to the east. It should be known this was done despite clear promises not to move an inch toward the Russian border. Even many Western politicians, experts, and pundits expressed concern and protested NATO's eastward expansion, warning this would inevitably force Moscow to respond. However, leaked information suggests that is precisely what a political West wanted, as evidenced by revelation published by WikiLeaks. But how do we know this is true? Well, its founder is suffering a horrible fate for publishing the secret data. That's, of course, Julian Assange. And yet, despite the world knowing all this, NATO is determined not only to continue its aggression, but openly escalate it. Namely, on January 18th, Dutch four-star admiral Rob Bauer, chairman of NATO's military committee, publicly stated that the belligerent, autocratic alliance is preparing for war with Russia, and that people in Europe should do so as well. Bauer is among the highest-ranking NATO officials. His announcement should be taken extremely seriously. Although he assessed that the coming conflict would happen in the next 20 years, the moves that the belligerent alliance is making indicate that such a conflict could come at any point. Next 2 hours, next 2 days, next 2 weeks, have no doubt about it. Following a meeting of NATO ministers in Brussels, Bauer told reporters that Western governments should start preparing for war with Russia, including by training civilians how to act when it starts. How about that? Meanwhile, we've had a Ukraine defense meeting where Lloyd Austin is reported to have made an appearance. And if you looked at it, we do have...
Good morning to ministers, chiefs of defense, and teams from the UDCG. Let me extend a warm welcome to our distinguished ministers and chiefs of defense. And thank you for convening today's... Somebody has a hot mic. Could I ask everyone to check and mute yourself at this time? Thank you. Let me welcome you to the 18th meeting of the Ukraine Defense Contact Group. I'm Celeste Wallander, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Policy, and I will serve as facilitator for today's contact group. I would like to welcome Minister Umerov of Ukraine. We value your presence here with your team at the UDCG, and we look forward to hearing from you shortly. But please first let me introduce Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin to deliver introductory remarks. Mr. Secretary, over to you.
Thanks to Assistant Secretary Wallander. Good day, everyone. Thanks for working across time zones to join us for the 18th meeting of the Ukraine Defense Contact Group. We're eager to enter this new year with new energy.
Let me say right off the bat, my preliminary comparison with past images of Lloyd Austin, it does appear to be the image of Lloyd Austin. And I have no doubt it's also the voice of Lloyd Austin as far back as the debates in 2016 between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. It was a Hillary Clinton body double. younger, thinner, but the voice of Hillary Clinton. This looks like a deep fake to me. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. Will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number is 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Younger, so much younger than today. I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being around.
Well, it turns out that more than 42,000 Russian troops have been killed in Ukraine since the beginning of the invasion. But the Ukrainians have suffered 10 times that number. Roughly, I think the total is around 500,000 dead for Ukraine and 50,000 for Russia. Meanwhile, the Ukrainians are committing certain kinds of atrocities. They're shelling civilian a street market in Donetsk. They killed 25 doing that. They can be very proud of that. They're very good at killing civilians. Meanwhile, Lou Rockwell, published by Caitlin Johnstone, very good piece. Biden has started another U.S. war. The Washington Post has an article entitled, "Is Houthis Vow to Fight On? U.S. Prepares for Sustained Campaign." With Sustained Campaign being empire speak for a new American war. The Biden admin is crafting plans for a sustained military campaign targeting the Houthis in Yemen after 10 days of strikes failed to halt the group's attacks on maritime commerce, stoking concern among some officials that an open-ended operation could derail the war-ravaged country's fragile peace and pull Washington into another unpredictable Middle Eastern conflict, the Post reports, acknowledging that sustained military campaign means war in the ninth paragraph of the article, saying the anonymous U.S. official signed the report doesn't expect the operation will stretch on for years like previous U.S. wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, or Syria, which is about as reassuring as a pyromaniac saying he doesn't expect to be burning down any more homes like all those other houses he's burned down in the past. This bizarre refusal to just call a war appeared in a recent press conference with Pentagon spokesperson Sabrina Singh, who acted shocked and aghast that reporters would even ask if repeatedly bombing a country would qualify as being at war with them. "Is it now fair to say that the U.S. is at war with Yemen?" Singh was asked by a Reuters reporter on Thursday. "No, we don't seek war. We don't think that we are at war. We don't want to see a regional war. The Houthis are the ones who continue to launch cruise missiles, anti-ship missiles at innocent mariners, at commercial vehicles that are just transiting an area that sees, 10 to 15% of world commerce. This is so deceitful and disgusting. The Houthis are acting in accordance with international law. The Houthis have declared war on Israel. The Houthis have explained only targeting ships with cargo destined for Israel. Heretofore, all others have had safe passage. There's absolutely no justification whatsoever for the United States or the UK to intervene, but because they have done so, United States and UK assets are now fair targets for the Houthis, totally legitimate. We can no more prevail over the Houthis than we could prevail over the Taliban in Afghanistan. This is just absurd. And the fact is that all commercial shipping has basically been brought to a halt. Insurers are not willing to invest the money because it's going to be too problematic. They're having to sail all the way around the Cape Horn of Africa, which greatly expands the transit time by weeks. So, the United States and Great Britain are acting in a despicable fashion. They are the war criminals, not the Houthis. Meanwhile, Douglas McGregor on the Truth Seeker is declaring Turkey will fight in Gaza, but he's saying in April, Turkey will fight in Gaza in April. I say April, that's a hell of a long ways away. We're still in January. We got a February. We got March. My God, how much could take place in the meanwhile? Netanyahu again rebuffs Biden over the existence of a Palestinian state. He doesn't want one. He won't have one. He's also declared that the slaughter of Palestinians will continue. International law, no international law. The Hague, no Hague. The ruling by the International Court of Justice, no ruling by the International Court of Justice. They don't give a damn. They continue to kill. Meanwhile, antiwar.com reports Israel bombs Damascus residential buildings, killing 4 Iranian Guard members. Iranian and Syrian media reported 5 members of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard were killed in Saturday's attack by Israel on Damascus, Syria. 4 members serving in an advisory capacity were killed today in the Syrian capital when Israeli warplanes struck a residential building they were staying. Iran confirm the deaths of the guard members. Will be right back.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been.
lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right.
Well, here's a good one. Let this sink in. Antiwar.com. U.S. Intel says Israel nowhere close to its goal of eliminating Hamas. U.S. intelligence officials estimate Israel is nowhere close to its goal of eliminating Hamas after 3 months of relentless airstrikes and ground ops in Gaza. The Wall Street Journal reports U.S. intelligence agencies estimate between 20 and 30% of Hamas fighters have been killed. The U.S. estimates they have about 25 to 30,000 militants, a few thousand police, other types of forces, also other militant groups in Gaza, including the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. The report came after a member of Israel's war cabinet, Gadi Eiskot, suggested the goal of eradicating Hamas is unrealistic in a veiled swipe with Israeli PM Netanyahu. Whoever speaks of the absolute defeat of Hamas in Gaza and of it no longer having the will or the capacity to harm Israel is not speaking the truth. That's why we should not tell tall tales, said Eisenkot, a former head of the Israeli Defense Forces, whose son died fighting in Gaza in December. Hamas got him. Meanwhile, realizing now they're suffering adverse public relations, Israel buys tech for mass influence operation. No surprise here. Israel has acquired systems that are designed to manage online discussion. No doubt AI. Tel Aviv hopes the new technology can improve its sagging image, especially in the United States. Not likely. While Israel has been firmly backed by President Biden, many of his supporters from 2020 are turning against him in 2024 due to his support for the onslaught in Gaza. Does that surprise anyone? After the Hamas attack on southern Israel on October 7th, Israel launched a massive and ruthless military campaign in Gaza that has slaughtered tens of thousands of innocent civilians, and I would add, of course, brought charges of genocide against it in the International Court of Justice, where, let us hope, justice will prevail. Meanwhile, the IOF, now the IOF is the Israeli Occupying Force, as opposed to the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, admit to excavating Gaza graves amid organ theft accusations. Israeli occupation forces have admitted to committing yet another heinous crime of digging up graves in Gaza, raising concerns about organ theft. I mean, why else in the world would they do it? Israeli occupation forces seem to verify records of their soldiers excavating graves in Gaza cemeteries, yet claiming their action was taken to ensure the bodies of Israeli captives were not buried there. What ridiculous nonsense. This is like claiming Lloyd Austin was in a hospital for a week and out of communication with everyone else. Just bullshit. In response to an inquiry from NBC regarding the issue, the IOF claimed these acts came as part of the mission to rescue captives and locating and repatriating bodies of individuals held in Gaza. Nonsense. On the other hand, I do not know enough about the logistics and viability of organ transplants. How long can an organ remain viable after a body is dead? Meanwhile, we know the U.S. has been involved. We even have had Marine units turn up in Gaza. Well, now we know the U.K. has flown 50 spy missions over Gaza. This has given the IDF targets. The flights have taken off from Britain's controversial airbase on Cyprus in average around one a day since the beginning of December. The British defense minister said in November, UK flights were providing surveillance support to Israel, including preventing the transfer of weapons to terrorist groups. That's just bullshit. They're simply identifying where Hamas is located to help the Israeli kill him. They since said the surveillance flight are solely to help locate two British hostages still in Gaza. Again, unbelievable, incredible nonsense. Now, the UK is in bad shape. They've had the effects similar to ours with NAFTA. Our manufacturing and industrial base has been exported. Get this. Britain, which, after all, was the home of the Industrial Revolution in the 19th century, will be forced to rely on steel made in India and China after Tata closures in Port Talbot. Almost 3,000 job losses come despite Tata being promised up to £500 million by the government to limit redundancies. You know, Britain is out of the steel manufacturing business. Just outrageous. Meanwhile, the World Economic Forum called on leaders of various nations to Trump-proof their economies. It would appear they are anticipating Trump returning to the White House. I find that very desirable. I'm glad they have that concern. They're calling on globalist leaders to Trump-proof their economies at their annual summit in Davos. The unelected globalist organization is pressing world leaders on how they're going to prepare for Trump's likely return to the White House. Meanwhile, we have further exposés here, including a bombshell report. How often are we getting reports that are bombshells? What's surprising is most of them actually are. Exposes J6 Democrat plot, claiming the committee had been caught red-handed. This is destroying all the evidence they'd accumulate because it would show they were special pleading. They were selecting out only the evidence that agreed with a predetermined conclusion and eliminating the rest. Special pleading. Outrageous. Meanwhile, in audio of what is supposed to be a Lloyd Austin 911 call, makes his AWO scandal even worse. Why weren't Americans told about his serious medical condition? The answer, of course, being because they didn't have to fabricate it yet, because he wasn't dead yet. From the very beginning, this is from Natural News, U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin tried to hide his prostate cancer diagnosis from all America, including officials within the Biden admin. A newly released 911 audio has revealed. During the 911 call, when Austin people were arranging transportation to the hospital after he suffered complications from pre-Christmas surgery, they attempted to hide the whole matter from the public. Honestly, I think this is one of those cases where they are trying to fabricate evidence for the cover story, and it's backfired. Not surprising. Meanwhile, New York has cut school funding in Republican district to pay for illegals. It's time for some really tough talk on this illegal alien invasion. As Tucker noted earlier this week, the country we live in has been forever changed by the three-year period of mass invasion we've been living through since Biden entered office. There's no going back. The consequences are going to be painful. Except I want to believe Trump comes to office, as the WEF fears, he will undertake the greatest deportation program in the history of the United States. Elon Musk mused earlier this week that governors and mayors in blue states may soon start confiscating American homes and giving them to the invaders. California, Illinois, Colorado, Massachusetts, and New York are doing their best to prove him right. New York is now proposing massive school cuts in heavily Republican districts in order to give more money to Biden's illegals. New York Governor Kathy Hochul announced her new budget proposal this week. She wants to increase funding by $2.4 billion to coddle the alien invaders while leaving 90,000 Americans homeless in New York City. To offset the budget increase, she wants to cut $500 million from funding for 44 school districts in Long Island, which just so happens to be one of the more conservative bastions remaining in the blue state. If these people are willing to take massive amounts of funding away from your child's school to benefit non-Americans, why wouldn't they confiscate your house? They hate you because you're a patriotic American, and they love the illegal invaders. Very, very troubling. Meanwhile, there's a list of C-grade actors who are supporting.
Something big is coming. You can probably feel it. Everybody can feel it. The next 12 months is going to be a wild time, probably like nothing any of us has ever seen. An economic meltdown, an unresolvable presidential race, unprecedented global migration, entire populations are moving from continent to continent, metastasizing foreign wars, chaos. Suddenly, everything seems at stake, control of the world and of your soul. How are you going to respond to all of this? The first step is knowing what's actually happening. That's not easy. Who's an ally? Who's an enemy? You can't always tell. What's true and what's a lie? Sometimes it's hard to know. There's so much deception. Big media companies won't help. Their job is to manipulate you. The government, please. When was the last time you believed a word they said? Probably before COVID. We've been thinking a lot about all of this for the past 8 months. We've traveled to various countries around the world to see what America looks like from far away. Sometimes distance gives you perspective. We've decided that we need something new, something relentlessly honest that the corporate gatekeepers can't touch. So we built a company called Tucker Carlson Network. We'll be rolling it out starting now. You may have already seen some of our content on X. Expect a lot more of that. Interviews, documentaries, analysis, facts and honesty every day. We've got a lot of good people working on this, and we think it's going to make a difference.
And Tucker has a list of C-grade actors supporting Israel's genocide included in his report. Meanwhile, how absurd is this? Army soldier charged for equipment he was forced to leave behind during Biden's chaotic Afghanistan withdrawal. During the Biden regime's embarrassing withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021, soldiers were ordered to leave behind tens of billions of dollars worth of military equipment. And now the regime is apparently charging the soldiers thousands to try and recoup that money. As if we needed further proof that this regime doesn't care about middle-class Americans, like those who choose to serve our country in the military. The Biden-led military is hoping to punish soldiers for the government's idiotic decision to abandon $85 billion worth of weapons and supplies, knowing they would land in the hands of the Taliban. One soldier by the name of Brock Michael posted a video detailing how the government was sticking him with a massive bill after he turned in his gear at the conclusion of a four-year active duty stint. Michael says he was smacked with charges totaling $3,561 after following orders to abandon his gear in the Middle Eastern country. 2 years ago, my unit deployed to Afghanistan for the Afghanistan withdrawal. We spent a few weeks over there. It was hectic. It was chaotic. It was disgusting. And it made me very disappointed in our government. Today, I'm reminded of how disappointed I am in our government, he said, before diving into the fact he'd been charged thousands after being told to leave behind his gear because there wasn't enough space on the last planes out. More than 75,000 vehicles, 600,000 weapons, 200 aircraft were handed over to the Taliban terrorists by the incompetent Biden regime. But none of the individuals who are truly responsible will ever be held accountable in the way they're trying with this former soldier. Here you have his story in a video format, which you can pursue at your leisure. Meanwhile, service members are seeking revenge over forced mandates. The United States have been on a slow cultural and economic decline for years. While many politicians have attempted to claim that the American dream has stayed alive and well in modern times, reality is that is false. Economically, the nation's manufacturing power has been gutted since the 70s. After the creation of NAFTA in the mid-1990s, the nail was placed in the coffin for many industries in this country. Tariffs were reduced. American corporations were incentivized to move production outside the country to access cheap labor, and tariffs were reduced as a consequence. Millions of good-paying, stable, working-class jobs were lost and continue to be lost by the thousands in the present day. Inflation continues to crush the middle class, and home ownership appears nearly impossible for median income families, and prices have skyrocketed. Culturally, the country has been engulfed in a cold cultural conflict for decades as conservatives and progressives have battled. Leftists have been successful in completely transforming the traditional American culture over the last several decades, promoting LGBTQ rhetoric, modern feminism, open border immigration, criminal reform policies, that have completely destroyed the nuclear family and destabilized communities everywhere. Ultimately, the country's in serious trouble. And with tens of thousands, make that millions of illegals entering the nation through the open southern border, the historic nature of American culture is at risk of being completely destroyed. Bear in mind, that is the goal. That is the objective. The many problems facing the country and the undeniable incompetence and corruption of an overbearing federal government continue to hinder people from serving in the military. In the COVID pandemic, service members were discharged for refusing to receive the controversial vax mandated by the government. Now, 231 are demanding high-ranking military officials be court-martialed for tyrannical actions that occurred previously and are still occurring in the present. They pledged to stop the military from being destroyed from within. How appropriate is that? But bear in mind, it's not incompetence. This is all purposeful. This is all by design. They want America to be destroyed. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian. And my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
but you can learn how to play the game.
Well, here I want to share with you, by way of conclusion today, a real speech presented by the president of Argentina at the World Economic Forum, where AI was used to translate his post, but he had to say from Spanish to English and read in his voice. Check it out.
The world is facing a significant threat. It is in danger because those who are supposed to defend the values of the Western world are co-opted by a world that inevitably leads to socialism and consequently to poverty and economic deprivation. Unfortunately, in recent decades, motivated by some well-intentioned desires to help others, and others by the desire to belong to a privileged caste, the main leaders of the Western world have abandoned the model of freedom for different versions of what we call collectivism. We are here to tell you that experiments are never the solution to the problems that afflict the citizens of the world, but rather they are their cause. Trust me, there is no one better than us Argentines to provide testimony on these two issues. When we embraced freedom in 1860, in 35 years we became the world's first dominant power. 35 years we became the first world power. While when we embraced collectivism over the past 100 years, we saw how our citizens began to systematically themselves until they fell to the 100th position in the world, 40 in the world. But before we can have this discussion, it would be important for us to first look at the data that supports why free market capitalism is not only a possible system to end world poverty, but also the only morally desirable system to achieve it. If we consider the history of economic progress, we can see how from year zero until around 1800, the world's per capita GDP remained practically constant throughout the reference period. If one looks at a chart of the evolution of economic growth throughout human history, one would be seeing a chart with the shape of a hockey stick, an exponential function that remained constant for 90% of the time and exponentially shoots up from the 19th century. The sole exception to this stagnant history was at the end of the 15th century with America's discovery. Except for this, from year zero to 1800, global per capita GDP remained stagnant without any significant changes. Now, not only did capitalism generate an explosion of wealth from the moment it was adopted as an economic system, but if one analyzes the data, what is observed is that growth has been accelerating throughout the entire period. During the entire period between year zero and 1800, the per capita GDP growth rate remained stable at around 0.02% annually, that is, practically without growth. From 19th century, with industrial revolution, growth rate reaches 0.66%. Given the current rate, it would require a time span of approximately 107 years to achieve a twofold increase in per capita GDP. In 1950, growth rate rises to 1.66% annually. 50, growth rate rises to 1.36% annually. We no longer need 107 years to double per capita GDP, but 66. If we take the period between 1950 and the year 2000, we can see that the growth rate was 2.1% annually, which would mean that in just 33 years, we could double the world's per capita GDP. This trend, far from stopping, remains alive even now. If we consider the period from 2000 to the growth rate increased again at 3% per year, meaning we could double our per capita GDP globally in only 23 years. Now, when studying per capita GDP from 1800 to today, what is observed is that after the Industrial Revolution, global per capita GDP multiplied by more than 15 times, generating an explosion of wealth that lifted 90% of the world's population out of poverty. We must never forget that by the year 1800, about 95% of the world's population lived in extreme poverty, while that number dropped to 5% by the year 2020, prior to the pandemic. The conclusion is obvious. Far from being the cause of our problems, free market capitalism as an economic system is the only tool we have to end hunger, poverty, and destitution throughout the planet.
The asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123 at gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.